And welcome, everybody, on YouTube as we switch gears here for Off the Hook Overtime. So, Manuel, I seem to have made it. Kyle, how about you?
I'm sort of here, yeah.
It's crazy because every time we do this, our levels are dramatically different for YouTube than for the rest of the world. Let's go out to Skype land, see what awaits us out there. Rob, can we hear you?
I can hear you.
Okay. And are we
I can also hear us on YouTube, and we're sounding good.
Okay. Levels are good this week?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Gila, you made it as well?
I did, indeed.
And Alex,
looks a little hot.
Alex over there in the UK. You're muted, Alex, or you're just excellent?
No, I was just lip-syncing.
Okay.
There we go.
So how is Merry England? We didn't talk about that.
It's good. I mean, I'm here. I'm believe it or not, can you believe it? I'm a law professor.
No, I don't believe that for a second.
I know, it's a crazy thing to think about. And a young, impressionable minds are mine for the taking.
Wait, so you're teaching children about law?
Yeah, well, actually, I'm teaching adults about law. You know, I'm teaching people that are becoming lawyers and that actually are already lawyers. And studying for graduate law degrees about cybersecurity law.
Wow.
And so I'm an actual law professor at King's College in London, which is pretty cool, I have to say. Ever since I was a young undergraduate at Stony Brook, same place as you, way, way back in the day, right? I've always wanted to be part of academia, shedding, you know, pseudo light on non-problems, all of that, right? And I'm here about once a month for about a week, and teaching, doing a couple of classes in person and then remote. So it's great. It's tough, you know. I do have to say though, when I'm here, I miss my kids, and my kids miss me, and I miss my wife too. But my older son, Sasha, who was on overtime with us very recently, if you recall, talking about the midterm election advertisements he was seeing on YouTube.
Yeah, he defeated you in the debate, I think. He was making good points.
Well, it's not that difficult to do. Hmm. So, but he is extraordinarily smart. I do have to say, but he gets really sad when I leave, and I miss him too, but. The thing I said to him a couple of weeks ago when I came here for the first time when I was doing the show was, this is actually, daddy fulfilling a dream. I always really wanted to be a professor. I always wanted to do this. And so he got that, I have to say. And he understood, that the sacrifice there. And and then when I started teaching, he said, daddy, did you fulfill your dream? Is it a dream fulfilled? And it actually is, because I really love teaching. I love it. It's great. It's exhausting and it's a lot of work, but I really do love it. It's a fun thing. It's something that I'm just so glad and grateful to have the opportunity to do. So, yeah, well, England is great. London is wonderful. And, really, I am fulfilling a dream. It's excellent. I'm really glad that my law firm is very supportive of it as well.
Awesome. And you have the exotic accent, too, for all those British people to admire as you're teaching.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, I'm exotic over here, which is hilarious. Yeah.
Go ahead, Rob.
Now, how does it work being a law professor? Like, you're an American lawyer about American law, and they have a whole different law over there. Like, they have laws about, like, scones and penny farthings and things. Like, how does it work? What are you teaching?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we're not teaching British law. Generally, I'm teaching the different sources of cybersecurity laws. So how do we get these regulations? How do we get these laws? How do we get these norms? And where do they come from? There's all these different sources of law and regulations for cybersecurity, and those are the things that we're stepping through, but also stepping through practice. So part of the module that I'm teaching at King's College steps through some of the greater hacks, right? That last week we talked about the Bangladesh bank hack, but before that we talked about the Sony hack. And we talked about very timely things too. You know, we spent actually a good amount of time last week talking about Virgil's case as well. So It's great, and it's very interesting, and I feel very grateful to be able to teach young lawyers and to shape the minds of young lawyers about how to think about cybersecurity and how to think about hacking. And one of the things we spent a lot of time talking about the first class was the distinction between hackers and criminals, which is something we talked about a hell of a lot on this show.
Mm-hmm.
So, I felt like I was very well prepared to debate that topic. But it is great. It's wonderful, and the students are absolutely excellent. And I was very lucky this week because I taught at King's College here in London, and yesterday, believe it or not, I actually gave a lecture at Notre Dame Law School, but here in London. Notre Dame, actually, even though it's in Indiana, of all places, I know, has had a campus in London for like 50 years or something like that. They have law students here studying in the UK all year. So I actually covered a lecture for a dear friend of mine who teaches at Notre Dame, and so that was pretty cool too. So I got to teach at two different law schools, two different continents, all here in London in the span of 2 days.
That's pretty amazing. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah.
Wow.
Look, the other thing that it is, the other thing I will say, and I'm planning my next column on in 2600 in artificial intelligence, I think it's going to be about this. But I have the great fortune of staying in Chelsea and being a member of the Chelsea Arts Club. And I have been staying in this place the last couple of times I've been there. And it's a wonderfully eccentric and unique place in the heart of London, in Chelsea. And it's an arts club, so it's mostly full of artists and writers, and I feel very, very privileged to be a member there. But there's only one rule. There's only one rule. Unlike any of these private clubs anywhere in the world that have dress codes and all kinds of regulations with which you must comply.
Have you broken the rule by telling us about it?
No, I haven't.
Okay,
no.
Good.
But I'll tell you, the only rule the Chelsea Arts Club is that you are never allowed to look at your cell phone, not allowed to use any electronic devices. So people interact with people the entire time that you're there. You don't interact with any devices. You talk with each other. That's the whole point of it. And it is pretty friggin' amazing. I have to say, it's wonderful. I would love to host all of you here. We should do a show from the Chelsea Arts Club.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Alex, if you do a show from there, won't you immediately be violating that rule because you'll be looking at a device?
Well, we'd have to get some kind of special dispensation in order to broadcast, I'm sure. But these things can be done. I've heard that certain things can be done. I'm sure they would make an exception for it.
Always looking for the exception to the rule.
That's it. You got it.
Wow. Well, congrats on all that. Sounds awesome. I'm extremely jealous and increasingly hostile to the fact that you're over there and I'm stuck in New York where winter has been canceled apparently this year.
That's true.
But, yeah, I miss London. I miss England. I miss overseas in general. Hopefully.
Well, come on over. You could do a guest lecture in one of my classes. You and Kyle would be awesome. Bring Rob and Gilly. That'd be wonderful. We'll do
charter a plane.
We'll
it sounds. Or maybe the QM2 has some rooms open. But we'll talk.
Yep.
We'll talk about it. Absolutely. But
all right.
We've done that kind of thing before. We gave a talk at a class up in Montreal, and that was pretty awesome. So yeah, we've done that.
I know, and I will say this for our London contingent that are listening, people like Zap and others. So I haven't forgot about you.
I hope you go to the meetings when you're there.
Well, if I'm here when they happen, is it this week?
No, it was last week.
It was last week. So I wasn't there. I wasn't here rather. And but if I'm here during the first Friday of the month, I would love to see Zap and the rest of the crew, and even then, I mean, look, Zap, reach out, and I'd love to go and hang out with the London.
Yeah, Zap exists at other times, not just on the first Friday.
Exactly.
He's 7 days a week.
Not just, I agree. So.
All right, well.
Love to see everybody.
Anyone else up to anything interesting, seen anything, done anything? Oh, I had an adventure. I had an adventure the other night. I was using my phone. This is crazy. I have one of them Galaxy S21 things. Okay, here's what I was doing. Maybe somebody could explain what I did wrong. I was using, and don't say using the phone in the first place. Okay, yeah, wise guy. Okay, but I have this phone. It's a Galaxy S21, fairly new. And I was using the browser Chrome, which many people do, and I was on the YouTube page, because I don't use the YouTube app, okay? I use the YouTube page in Chrome. You know, want to make an issue out of that? Fine, but that's my choice. That's what I was using. Playing a video, and I thought maybe I turned the volume down a little bit because I was in a public area. I didn't want to play a video too loud, so, you know, I pressed what I thought was the volume down button. Instead, I hit the button right next to it, which is, I think, the power button. Different things happen at different times, depending on what your phone is doing at the time. And what happened this time when I hit that button, it called the police. It was all of a sudden this red countdown icon on my phone that I could not abort, and it called the damn police. Who in their right mind would design a phone to do this? You're watching a YouTube video. You're trying to turn down the volume. You hit the wrong button, which is right next to the other button, and you call the cops. And then the phone is sending me messages, you know, for the next couple of hours saying, you called the police, therefore we're unblocking all of your numbers for some reason. That's a good idea. And I was like, no, I didn't call the police. You called the police. This stupid phone called the police. I had no interest in calling them. So, please, yeah, it's a real riot, Rob, but it could have been much more awkward than that, especially if they show up, you know? Nobody wants that. So, for God's sake, Samsung, what are you thinking? Why would you design a phone to call the cops when someone's trying to lower the volume on a YouTube video? Stupid. Gila, looks like you have an idea.
I do. Well, I mean, it's not necessarily an idea of why, but if you need to make an emergency call and you're in a situation where you're not safe and you need to do it unobtrusively, then yeah, put that emergency button next to something that's not going to arouse suspicion.
Okay, I don't know what kind of cops and robber lifestyle people think I'm living here, but I'm not generally in a position where I have to surreptitiously call the cops using a phone and a button that is used to power the damn thing on. I mean, it shouldn't be that simple. Yeah, it should be possible, but it shouldn't be something that you can easily do by mistake.
So, okay, bonus for the Apple, because my iPhone, you have to hit two buttons on opposite sides of the phone at the same time, and then it asks you if you want to make an emergency call.
Well, that's better.
Is there a disable function in your settings?
Well, considering I didn't know this was a setting, I have yet to find that. And I've yet to even find an admission that this is a feature. I just, you know, and because nobody believed me when it happened the first time, I did it a second time just to show people, look, this is what happened. Look, I'm watching the video. I hit this button. Look, it's calling the cops again, and we can't stop it. So I called the cops twice, actually. Sorry. I mean, what am I supposed to do? Just trying to live my life here, and technology gets in the way. Shall we?
That reminds me of the Apple Watch story that was out this week.
What happened with the Apple Watch?
Apparently, dispatchers are really mad. Like skiers, they tumble and stuff.
I heard about that. Yeah, because they think they're having an accident or something.
They get all these false calls where everybody's fine. It's just like dude, you know, bailed on a run and like is deep in the pow, you know, all that. And anyway.
I don't know what any of that means, but it's a good idea, I guess, to be able to call for assistance if you really, took had a bad fall on a mountain somewhere, assuming there's reception. But if you don't want that to happen, it can be annoying to the people going out to rescue you.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
go ahead.
No, I mean, I was just going to say maybe then don't go skiing with a mini computer on your arm.
But then what happens if you need it? What happens if you do need to be rescued?
there's, like, ski patrol in the area, right? Unless you're, you know, Sonny Bonoing it behind your house.
Wow.
Well,
that's really too soon, Gila. Really too soon.
25 years?
Yeah.
Too soon?
Yeah, 50 years is the minimum.
I'll make it out.
I think Alex has an idea. You have your finger up in the air and your mouth is half open.
Yeah, well, I think, if I recall correctly, there used to be a service that would help people if they had fallen, couldn't get up. Do you remember this?
I remember the story of Elaine King, who was in trouble because she fell on the floor. And that was the only example they ever gave on those commercials, Elaine King. I'll never forget that name. Look it up. Look it up.
Elaine. That was the name of the elderly woman?
Yeah, that was her name. It was she must have racked in a fortune with all those commercials late at night. But I think it was called the Life Alert button.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Life Alert. Yeah. I mean, it sounds to me like, yeah, they're replicating, the Apple Watch is replicating erroneously the function of the Life Alert button. And to their detriment. So I have no sympathy for that.
Well, this is interesting because it's if it's using the gyro sensors in your Apple Watch to infer that you've gotten shaken around, tumbled around, whatever, in a manner similar to a car accident, how can we start teaching these things that one tumble is okay and another isn't, or just like have some kind of app that you press a button that's like, I'm about to ski now, ignore how much I'm going ass over tea kettle.
Yeah, well, there has to be some kind of way to say, okay, yeah, I really have taken a fall and I need help, as opposed to, nope, that's what I meant to do. I don't know. And if you're unconscious, you know, sending out an alert saying, yeah, press 1 for a stretcher, press 2 for an ambulance, whatever, you know, if you're unconscious, you can't respond. And maybe not responding is the response. I don't know. Greater minds than mine have to figure this one out. Shall we open the phone lines, assuming that there's anybody out there who wants to call us?
I'm ready.
Okay, it's 802-321-4225. That's our telephone number, 802-321-HACK. Yeah. Waiting for a phone call.
And
go ahead.
And you saw, was there somebody calling?
No, I'm listening to you, trying to.
Oh, okay, all right. I think you're talking to a caller. I wasn't sure if you're talking to a caller or me.
I'll let you know if I'm talking to a caller.
I did place I placed a condition on the callers this evening between the three of us, right? I mean, or rather the four of us, five of us, actually, if you count me. I'm exhausted, so depending upon who calls, I may or may not stick around.
You have to stick around, Alex. You haven't been here all year. It's in your contract. But, you know, none of us, if we don't get calls, none of us are going to stick around.
Right. That's right, yeah. What was the phone number, 802-321-4225?
802-321-4225, yes, that's correct.
Yeah, all right.
You look puzzled, Gila.
Well, I'm fact-checking you a little bit. So
did I give the wrong phone number out, or?
No. Oh. The phone number is correct. I'm back on the Life Alert commercial.
All right.
Okay, so Life Alert, those commercials began running in 1989, identified by dispatcher as Mrs. Fletcher said, I've fallen and I can't get up. An actor named Edith Four, whose original name was Edith Americus Divergilis, by the way, she played Mrs. Fletcher. She died at 81 years old 26 years ago, but I don't know about Elaine King.
Okay, well, first of all, it's a radio commercial. It's not a TV commercial.
Oh, pardon me.
Yeah, so I remember it like it was yesterday. This is the story of Elaine King, who fell on the kitchen floor and can't get up. She's in trouble.
Oh, I was not talking about the radio commercial. I was talking about the TV commercial. Oh.
Thank you. Yeah. Me too.
Well, I'm in radio land, so that's what I remember.
Yeah, I don't know. You predate all of us.
I guess
that
I do.
Must be it. Yeah.
Well, they've probably had multiple purposed scripts and so forth for different avenues, but it's a famed device, and it persists. It exists to this day, and the people do have a sense of comfort in devices that that can help them and in situations like that. And even adventure sports, there are GPS and other sorts of like devices that can be used in the event of risky activities or like an avalanche and so forth. So, but yeah, I guess you just can't always take that stuff with you when you're having joyful tumbles.
No,
until it can discern joyful tumbling, like from an adverse tumble.
I'd lost my entire right channel. I don't know why.
I don't know what's going on.
Nobody was touching anything, and the right channel went out. Hang on, let's go over here to the right side. I'm in the left side.
Can you move? It's a little crowded. I like a little bit.
If I move around, but
I think we have
static.
There's some dust in the pots.
Yeah, the pots being the potentiometers. That's what radio lingo.
I think we need to reboot the board.
I think we need to hit the board.
I want to hit it. I have a rubber mallet.
I feel like
a good whack.
Yeah, I think something harder would be nice. Has the phone rung at all?
Oh, possibly.
Don't we have a ringer that we can hear?
You know, maybe.
Okay, 802-321-4325.
It's turned down. You want to hear a ring?
Yeah, let's bring it up for dramatic purposes.
That's 802-321-HACK, or if you're in the U.S., you can call us toll-free at 833-755-2600. Thanks to our friend Lucky.
If you're one of those people, it's ringing. If you're one of those people that still has tolls, I don't know how that's even possible these days, but I guess it is. You going to pick that one up? Go ahead. Let's see who's there. Even though I have a feeling I know. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook. Go ahead. Overtime.
Yes.
It's Rebel. Yes. Just as I thought, Rebel is the first call. You know, Rebel, I couldn't help but notice you were calling us throughout the entire last hour. Don't you know what time overtime begins?
Yeah.
So why would you call us an hour early?
You don't take calls on Off the Hook anymore?
I'm sorry?
You don't take calls on the other Off the Hook? You know,
The whole point of us doing overtime is so that we can take calls, because we can't take calls because we're not in the studio, because the studio is not yet reopened. So we can't take phone calls remotely.
What do you mean it's not yet reopened?
It's not yet reopened. That's what I mean. I can't make it any clearer than that.
COVID's been over for like 20 years now.
Well, I think that might be a slight exaggeration there, but take it up with management at WBAI. We just follow orders.
You mean no radio host is allowed to?
I think it's a question of number of people in the studio at once, and I think that's capped at two or three, and we're more than that.
And it takes more than
sometimes we're much more than that. Hang on, Rebel's speaking. Everyone be quiet.
Are you talking about artificial intelligence? You know, people have been calling and saying, you know, hello, can you hear me? And then they wait for a response, and they say, great, I'm calling. Would you like to hear a demonstration?
Are you telling us about the junk calls that you get yet again? Because you tell us this every week. Yes, you get spam calls that are coming from fake numbers. We've been over this.
Would you like to hear a demonstration?
Why would I want to hear that?
I talked about spam.
The listeners may want to hear it.
Does anybody want to hear this?
These are like your impressions, though, right?
No, I think he's going to play a real one.
I hear a lot of these on my own phone.
Seriously.
You know, Rebel, I'm going to turn my mic off and just listen. Go ahead.
Okay, hold on.
That means I won't say anything either, but that's just the way it is.
Let's see if this works.
Hey, it's Erica with Regal Capital. How have you been?
Now, she's waiting for a response.
Tell her you've been great.
I'll be really quick. We're helping small businesses like yours to gain access to additional funding for your business needs. This business credit line can be used for anything within your business. To qualify for this great opportunity,
now, you can't interrupt her. You just, you know, it's not like a voice response.
Well, I can interrupt you.
To review
so.
Rates and terms, okay?
Now this is a scam because they're in India. You know, that's when you.
You don't know where they are.
Do you think a loan or a line of credit could help you guys out right now?
No. We have plenty of money. We don't need any help whatsoever. In fact, do you need money? Rob, you have something to say. Go ahead.
Yeah, Rebel, you mentioned the AIs and everything. One important detail here is you're not listening to an AI right now. You're listening to a recording of someone saying these lines, I believe. And, you know, the recording is not going to listen to what you say and wait for you to be ready.
But thanks for saying good, I guess. I'll take it as a compliment.
Wow, she just denied being a robot.
A line of credit could help you guys out right now?
How did you get her to say that?
Response, Rob.
But how did you get her to say she's not a robot?
My job is to collect some basic information from you and bring a loan officer on the line. Is that a yes?
I'm going to bring a police officer onto my line. How about that?
That's what I told them today.
Uh-huh. I know their number. My phone calls them frequently.
I can definitely help with that, but I just need to confirm this info first. Was it a yes or a no?
It's a maybe. How about that?
Okay, great. So, have you been in business for at least 6 months?
Rebel, she's not actually hearing me, is she?
I know.
Okay, I don't know if this is a recording or if you actually called something that does this.
6 months or more?
Can you tell her to shut up now? Because we've all had enough.
Sure, eventually.
Is that a yes?
Okay, you know, the thing that I worry about is that real people will make phone calls sometimes and be totally abused by people who think they're artificial intelligence or a recording or something like that.
There's a credit card.
No,
you know,
for real.
Please disconnect her.
So have you been doing business for at least 6 months?
Oh, my goodness.
You know, there's been artificial intelligence getting credit cards in other people's names.
No, for real. I'm seriously not a robot. Have you been in business 6 months or more?
Emmanuel?
Yes, Rebel.
Well, so my job is to collect some basic information from you and bring a loan officer
on
the line.
Hold on. Maybe I can...
Is that a yes?
I hung up on it.
Is this just like a soundboard? It sounds like a soundboard that somebody's just like operating.
That's a possibility, too.
I sense that you don't like me very much. Please try.
You see, that was a robot saying again, talking to Gila. But again, you guys were talking over it. Can you please repeat that?
Gila, I sense that you don't like me very much. Gila, I sense that you don't like me very much.
It's saying it with an H. Wow. Okay. We're gonna send that in for repairs.
Okay. If you want to know the way that you get AI to say my name correctly,
You knew it was going to do that, didn't you?
Yeah, because I've been experimenting with stuff like this since I was a kid. So the way to get it to say my name right is to spell it the following way.
Okay, everybody take notes here.
G-H-E-E-L-A-H.
All right.
And that will do it right.
And for those unfamiliar, your name is actually not spelled that way.
It is not spelled that way. No, he's not.
that is an interesting possibility you raised. Where, like, is this an artificial intelligence listening to the called party before it responds with "No, I'm really not a robot" or whatever? Or is this a human being pressing soundboard buttons to just make the pre-recorded phrases happen?
My money's on the latter, honestly.
Remember the operators used to do that? You know, they used to push a button to say, AT&T, how may I help you? And
then
they'll push another.
I remember when that was a fairly new thing, and we were exposing it by calling it live and getting them to speak, and you'd hear the difference in voice when the person said information, may I help you? You'd say hello, and then they'd say hello, and it would be a completely different voice. Also, you know, when they gave you the phone number, I remember when they stopped telling you in their voice and they started playing recordings, I told you the phone number. But we've moved so far beyond that.
Oh, they would have different recordings for different things. When the number's not listed, they would push a button for a recording that says, "I'm sorry, that limit's not listed."
Which made you wonder what it is they actually do. They're just pressing buttons and they're barely saying anything.
You know, artificial intelligence is ordering credit cards in people's names. People are using artificial intelligence to, you know.
Well, artificial intelligence isn't. Okay, let's just be clear here. Artificial intelligence isn't going out and committing credit card fraud. People are using artificial intelligence to do that day will come. Artificial intelligence will be doing all kinds of credit card fraud, absolutely, but it's not here yet.
Right.
Anything else, Rebel?
I don't know. I guess that's it. Let's see.
Okay.
I guess that's it. Let's see. What else?
And you're not traveling to some far-off place like Alex is?
No, I'm in Ohio.
Wait, that's pretty exotic. What's
just passing through, you know.
Why would you be in Ohio? I mean, no offense to Ohio, but why?
No, just passing through.
So you're driving?
Yeah, well, not now, but, you know.
Okay, well, you've called us while you're driving, so it's not inconceivable. You should, this is what I recommend, take a train ride sometime. I think you'd like that.
No, you know, I don't lie. I've done that before. I don't think I'd want to spend more than maybe like 5 or 6 hours on a train.
Really? Even if you had a room?
Well, I don't even know if I want to spend 5 or 6 hours on an airplane either. I mean, I went to Turkey and Russia and all that. I was like, you know, it was like 9 hours to get from Turkey to New York City. That was...
Well, the supersonic plane is coming back, I hear, so maybe that's an option.
Well, when they invent them again.
Uh-huh. And, of course, portals, but they're expensive. All right, Rebel, it's great hearing from you, and we look forward to the next time.
Yeah, of course.
All right. Have a good night.
Okay.
Bye. Bye. And we're going to hold the phone lines open for just a little while to see if anybody else is out there. And apparently somebody else is out there. Wow, they jumped on that really quickly. I won't even give out the phone number because it's busy now. And go ahead. You're on All Folk Overtime. Go ahead.
Oh, wow. I can't believe it. I finally did not get your announcement. By the way, Emmanuel, is that your voice or is it artificial intelligence?
I have no idea.
This is what a busy signal sounds like, but since we don't believe in busy signal, you're hearing my voice.
That sounds like something I would say. So that's what you get if you don't connect to us.
But it's with your voice.
Oh, I could, maybe I recorded that at some point. Yeah, it's quite possible.
So you recorded it.
Well, I'll call it right now using my police hotline phone.
Because the cadence is different from your regular speak.
Uh-huh. Well, it's certainly
that's
possible.
What you were saying about Biden.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if they already did that on you. And, you know, Gilad, my money is that it's all automatic. Why? What would be the point of training a human to push buttons and that can be activated simply by artificial intelligence options? And, you know, that's exactly the point, to dehumanize the whole thing and save money and make sure that everything just proceeds. So that's my hunch. The other thing I wanted to say is that the skiing accident.
My phone just called the cops again.
Potential skiing accident and the automated calls to the emergency service. I think they're two faces of the same coin. Basically, you cannot have the one without the other, meaning that technology is and can be very clever, but it always has glitches.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that is the reason why I use it very carefully. For example, right now I'm calling you from a landline, and that's my first phone of choice whenever I can use it. Otherwise, I was trying to call you before you gave out the 800 number.
Okay.
And I remember I had in my, I call it my cell phone booth, because that's what I use it for. I use it to make phone calls on the go and for WhatsApp and Skype. But other than that, it rests in my drawer. I go out without it. And anything that I can use my brain for, I use it. Because otherwise, it will go obsolete. Emmanuel, we are the same age. And don't ask me how I know this, but I do. It wasn't artificial intelligence. It was just listening to you and figuring it out. And I won't give it away on the air, even as a speculative thing.
That's fine.
But the question is, are we using the technology or are we serving the technology? And that's always been an important question for me, and one that I intend to continue to wade into and explore for the rest of my life.
That sounds great.
This is pretty much what I wanted to say tonight. If you want to respond and me staying on the air, or I can just tune off and listen.
Well, I have to confess, I've been a little distracted because I was calling the number to see if my voice did in fact show up. And I don't think you could hear it, but my voice did show up. And I hung up the phone, and my phone called the police again. And then the police texted me. No, this all just happened, right? This all happened right now.
I'm so sorry.
The police were texting me asking if I needed the police. What a nightmare this is. And I said, no, my phone is dialed. But now I've gotten their attention again. I'm afraid of this thing. Why does my phone keep calling the cops?
Can you maybe turn it off or put it away or just
wait,
stop using
so hold on a second, Kyle. You're excuse me.
I'm tickled that this happened while I was saying what I was saying.
Well, I'm glad it's a cause of amusement for everybody, but I'm kind of curious what the hell's going on here. May I ask where you're calling from?
Good old Gotham.
New York City.
Manhattan.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling.
I think I started listening when you started making the program.
Oh, wow.
I've been calling you many times with different voices, not intentionally, but simply because my throat is very sensitive and it changes the timbre and the tone and according to not just my health conditions, but my moods.
Uh-huh.
So tonight I'm rather upbeat and I'm also talking faster than I usually do. My accent may be less prominent than some other times. And to people who remark upon my accent, I say, well, you have one too, but not as charming as mine. That's my standard response.
All right.
Any other questions? I would be happy to entertain.
Anyone else out there on Skype land? I'm sorry, I'm a bit distracted.
Yeah, well, we were listening to you, I think. The idea that
if I left you speechless, that's an achievement. I'll just hang up and continue listening. Keep up the good work. This is a fascinating program. I'm besotted by everything that you have put on the air tonight, and it's been a real motive of reflection and further research into the topics that you're touching because. It's just that you chose, you know, the leader of the free world, but this can be done to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And being the leader of the free world, you know, it's incredible that it can be done. You can just pick up the phone and somebody can tell you, go to your refuge. Nuclear war is about to start. I am your leader and do it. Or anything else for that matter. It's rather shocking, not because I would believe it, but I think there are many people out there who would.
All right. Well, you've given us a lot to think about. I want to thank you for your call. And
well, thank you. The feeling is mutual.
All right.
I'll hang up and listen to the rest.
Okay.
Thank you again.
Take care. Rob, go ahead. Well, you were going to say I had a feeling the caller had difficulty hearing you.
Yeah. I was just going to say the idea of the system that Rebel was demonstrating being a person with a soundboard instead of an artificial intelligence using algorithms to listen to what the victim is saying before responding in kind is because I was picturing, and I think you were picturing something like this, Gayla, was like maybe at the call center somewhere where people don't speak English well and they don't have to because they're just using buttons on a soundboard.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And that you can, I mean, obviously it was a recording that was getting twigged by something because you could hear the questions were being asked in the exact same cadence, timbre, tone, everything. But because we were not necessarily giving it direct yes or no answers, it was scrambled a little bit, which is why I think there was probably somebody there who was just hitting the buttons.
Okay. Speaking of hitting the buttons, I want to address this issue because this is really driving me crazy now. I don't know what the hell is going on with this phone. Kyle, your advice was to just stop using it.
It seems to be an awful distraction, and I don't know. It's operating in an unpredictable way, and it just seems like it's causing more problems.
I can't have a phone that keeps calling the cops every time I look at it. Weird. So I want to figure out. We're on a tech show right now. What am I doing that's making... I just called us, and then I hung up, and it called the cops. Why would it do that?
Ooh, what? Have you updated your OS recently?
Yes, it insisted I do it. I couldn't get out of it.
Okay, I found something on the Samsung board.
What the hell did they do?
The phone keeps pocket dialing 911 since Android 13 update.
Oh, wow. What a miracle.
Okay, I fixed it.
How do you fix it?
Swipe down for the cog.
For the what now?
The settings. The cog. The gear.
Okay. The settings gear.
Well, I'm afraid to turn my phone on, but okay, I'm going to press the button I always press to get out of my screensaver, right? Can I do that? Well, I'm doing
it. Or swipe to get your unlock.
Okay, hang on a second. I've entered my code. Okay, and then I find the little cog thing. Or did I just go into settings? Is that what I do?
Go into settings.
Okay, hang on. Going into settings.
Advanced.
I'm being very careful here. I'm being very, very meticulous and careful.
Excellent choice.
Now, where do I go from the settings?
Advanced features.
Advanced features. Oh, I don't know if I'm ready for this.
Hot dog.
I'm in advanced features.
Motions and gestures.
Motions and gestures.
I got a gesture.
I got a gesture, yes. Keep
and
going.
We all know. Turn off, double tap to turn on screen.
Turn off, double tap to turn on screen or turn off screen?
Turn off, double tap to turn on screen.
Okay, so turn off, double tap to turn on screen. Okay. Is that
should do it because there appears to be a double tap, something that brings up an emergency call button, which you may be hitting without realizing it, in addition to the volume button thing. See if this makes a difference.
Okay, let's see if we call the cops again. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do what I just did before, which is call us. Hang on, I'm going to go to the phone icon. I'm going to enter our phone number. Okay, it's 802-321-4225. Wait a minute, I can't do it now because
there's
somebody on the phone. Or is somebody calling in now, Kyle?
There was a flurry of callers. You can continue to call. We'll get your calls. We're just addressing this technical issue for now.
Oh, the police just thanked me by text. They said, okay, thank you, all caps, saying that my phone misdialed them.
Yeah, that's them. They are all caps, yeah. That's how
about
they roll.
That? I've never texted the cops before.
Thank you, citizen.
Surely not on the radio. Okay.
All cops are caps?
If someone could call us now.
Cops are all caps.
Someone can call us now at 802-321-4225.
Okay, I think you got your wish. I think
someone, just connect to them. We're not going to bring them up immediately, but we will bring them up.
I believe they're,
are
holding,
they connected?
They're holding the line.
Now
yes.
I'm going to call us, and we'll play the recording, which is what the caller brought up. Speaker. And
hi, this is a busy signal. But since Google Voice doesn't believe in busy signals, you're hearing my voice instead. We're sorry. There's nothing we can do about that. But what you can do is leave a message, and maybe we'll play it on the show in future weeks. Or you can hang up and try again and maybe actually reach our analog phone. It's your choice.
Oh, wow. I've forgotten we recorded that. That's definitely my voice, but I totally forgot we recorded that. And we never listened to the messages, so who knows what's on there. I don't even know how to get to the messages.
We have a backlog of messages to get to, yeah.
Okay, can I hand you my phone, Kyle, so you can hang up and not call the police?
It's a hot potato. I don't want this.
Nobody wants it.
Give me this.
Look, if it happens, just throw it to the window and we can claim ignorance.
I have enough things to help out with. There is a caller that would like
they
to
they can't
with
prove
us.
Who called the cops.
Maybe they'll console you.
Okay, we'll take this phone call. Good evening. You're on Off Talk Overtime. Go ahead.
Hey, firstly, I just want to say, love the show, love the magazine.
Thank you.
Huge fan. But I wanted to touch base on the Supreme Court justices using their private emails for, like, official stuff.
Yes.
If they can't be bothered to learn how to adequately use the proper protocols and procedures, then how can we as a United States citizens trust them to make laws or make rulings on laws that would govern the policies that may help continue to enact or remove all of our like encryption and other privacy services?
Excellent question. How can you possibly trust them?
That's fair. Fully, you have touched on something that we're all facing. This age is wholly dependent on electronic communication tools, and we're in a world of connectivity and software, and those have come up. Those issues, issues of privacy. Well, I don't have to tell our listeners, right? This is the kind of stuff we
you
try
have to
to
tell the Supreme Court, though.
Yeah,
they don't know.
We try to get it under under people's, you know, noses and get them aware of this stuff, you know, so that, you know, we're all discussing it, and I don't know, whatever it may be, we we get the importance of it because, you know, and I think that's more mainstream now, this idea of, like, a digital divide. Like, I find it, I'm amused by it anymore because there's much less of a gap anymore. Like, the kinds of people that developed a lot of the technology are now, you know, retiring, and there's a much wider common understanding of this stuff. So I like to think maybe their staff and that, you know, they themselves do care about the issues, whatever is presented in front of the court. And, you know, if their technical acumen and ability isn't quite at the level, they could still understand the importance of the cases.
Sorry, my phone just emitted a tone. Okay.
I'm also reminded of the whole Congress telling Facebook to enable, like, end-to-end encryption to protect the children, and then a year later, once everyone found out exactly what encryption was, they're like, oh, no, turn off encryption because we need access to all the things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. The implications of small rule changes. There's stuff we've been talking about that are quite the opposite for a very long time. That, you know, there's legislation that is really, you know, has incredible consequence, and we've enjoyed it. You know, enjoyed maybe casting a wide net over certain activities, or we've lauded other behaviors in the security community that turns out really aren't actually in the best interests of consumers or so on and so forth. So it goes all the way around, and yeah, I guess it's important to continue to press for understanding and have people that don't think in really linear ways in every case. We need that perspective of a wide amount of views, and definitely the hacker view, you know, the hacker mentality to, like, just stoke a little bit of the discussion, you know, away from thinking that you've always got it figured out, because that's just when, you know, people find vulnerabilities and stuff. And when it comes to, like, these wider issues of, you know, privacy and security, and they get philosophical very quickly, and we got to keep it down to earth and, you know, about what people's true interests are and vice, you know, and also, you know, what the costs will be if we don't act or if we don't protect certain things. So these are incredibly important perspectives on the court. You're absolutely right. I mean, it's not a time to just take for granted our reliance on this stuff, and maybe the kind of oversight and discussion is a wake-up call to the justices themselves.
Well, I hope to think that this story is that wake-up call. I'd like to think that.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, well, thanks for your call.
Yeah, thank you. Take care.
You want to wait for one more, or you think that's enough for now? Alex is sound asleep. Look at him. He's so peaceful when he's
busy.
Oh, did we wake you up? I'm so sorry.
I'm in bed. Yeah.
So
it's almost 2 a.m. here.
Well, whose fault is that?
I don't know.
You can't blame us for the time in England. Which, by the way, Alex, you know, it begs the question: are you going to be in England every Wednesday?
No.
No. Okay. I'll be back in New York next week.
All right. Well, we'll count
on
that.
Are we on next week?
Yes, we're on next week.
Our schedule's so sporadic.
We're on next week, unless something happens.
I know. We have to ask Jim's.
All right. We have a phone call. I just want to update people. The phone made a noise, but that's because I think we left the voicemail going and it maxed out. I think that's what that recording was. But I just got a message from call settings saying numbers temporarily unblocked. This is what I was referring to last night, or actually when it happened the first time. After an emergency call, all numbers are unblocked for 2 hours. Tap here to resume blocking. Well, I block generally everybody, so I'm going to resume that right away. And hopefully this doesn't happen anymore. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Hi there, guys. It's Johnny Fusion.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going pretty good. You know, the other week you were talking about the no-fly list getting found, I guess we should say. It's not
right,
really
right.
Hacked. It was just kind of like sitting there on the open server.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a real fan of that Swiss hacker, you know, Maya Arson Crimeu,
mm-hmm.
right? And she has, you know, her Twitter press or its Twitter presence is really good. And a few days ago, they said everyone should make a silly website. And I was thinking, I've been making silly websites since 1995. My first website was actually online for 27 years until the telecom company that bought Access for All reneged on the promise that the hackers that founded Access for All, they gave me a lifetime account,
mm-hmm.
you know, for services rendered when I lived in Amsterdam. But when I was recovering from my surgery, you know, I get an email say, oh, if you want to keep your account, you got to pay us, you know, so many euros a month.
Right. Yeah, I had an account there, too. I don't have it anymore.
And then I said, well, you know, I've had this account for 27 years. I hate to lose it. I'll look into, okay, how do I pay for it? Well, you got to be in the European banking system. I can't do that living in California. And then I get another email saying, oh, you got to have a Dutch mailing address. And so this lifetime free account that I got because I mean, among other things, I spent an afternoon rewiring their phone closet in 1995,
uh-huh.
right? Uh-huh. Just up and went away because, you know, capitalism, because, you know, it's not run by hackers anymore. It's run by, you know, big Dutch telecom interests now.
I remember the days, though, when it was run by hackers, and it was such a cool thing. I remember the building. I'm pretty sure it's the same building that you were wiring. It's many floors and just activity everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. It used to be an old naval academy, if I remember correctly.
It was across the street from a boat, I believe, that had a cannon. And one day it was firing the cannon because it was some kind of celebration, but it seemed like...
Yeah, it was right across the street from the Schaefer. I can't do my Dutch sounds anymore. But basically the Naval History Museum.
Uh-huh. Yep, those were the days.
Yeah, those were the days, you know. And I made some good friends, you know. I'm sure we had mutual friends there when I was hanging out with former members of HackTech.
Mm-hmm.
I got really close with Bill Squire, Bill SF.
Yeah, he lived downstairs in that building, I believe.
Yeah.
Yep.
He was from a pair of my underwear. That was a fun story.
Okay, well, that's an interesting story, but he was definitely one of the greats, and we miss him terribly.
He really was. Yeah. I miss him.
Yeah. Well, anything happy to end on?
Oh, yeah, well, just, you know... I don't think it's too late to have these kind of enterprises again, you know, because, you know, I like the idea of hacker spaces, which is what Access for All, and then they had, like, the digital city down the hall
mm-hmm.
there in Amsterdam. It was just, you know, and now today we have these maker spaces and hacker spaces. I used to go to one in Sonora, California, called Motherlode Maker Labs. You know, and they had a 3D printer and laser cutter. You know, I first started learning how to work with microcontrollers there. And just, you know, a community of hackers just sharing information, working on projects. And that spirit is still alive today. You know, not really in it for the money or anything, but just for the art of hacking and making. And that spirit is still alive. You know, sometimes people get the big payday and, you know, we hear about these startups, but more fail than make it. I think we only hear about the outliers that get the big valuation.
Well, I mean, that's like, true of anything. That's true of anything, more fail than make it, but that doesn't mean you give up. You just try something else.
Yeah, in my late 20s, I had, you know, my startup. You know, I was a little bit ahead of the curve doing internet hosting back when most people didn't think they needed a website, much less their own domain.
Right.
You know, so.
And now people feel the same way. They don't have their own domain or their own website anymore. It's all programmed for them, and it's few and far between. You'll find people doing it themselves.
Yeah.
But the important thing is
that needs to come back, you know,
right.
Make your own silly website.
Look, I think you touched upon it. The hacker spirit is prevails, and the rules change. Yeah, the technology is not the same. We're not using telephones the way we used to use telephones. We're using something else instead. There's always something new to hack, and there's always something new that individuals will have power over. And that's just the human way of doing things. I don't think that will ever die. The technology is constantly going to be changing, though.
Yeah. I mean, as long as there's something to hack, there will be hackers to hack it,
right? And there will be. I mean, you mentioned the mid-90s as when all this was happening. And I'll tell you, in the mid-90s, a lot of people were saying the magic period is over. We can't do this kind of thing anymore, except that was the magic period we're talking about right now. You know, we started putting out 2600 in 1984. In 1985, we were getting letters telling us that hacking was over. You know, the glory days are gone. It was happening before we came out. It happens all the time. It's a parallel to the world of music, where every new type of music, it's not the same as the old type. It's not as good. It's too derivative. It's just, it happens over and over and over again, and it'll continue happening. The magic is the one constant that never disappears.
Yeah. You know, it's like, so I was in the cyberpunk scene, which was kind of, well, that, you know, that was like the article I wrote last year for the magazine
mm-hmm.
about, you know, living in the cyberpunk dystopia, thinking it was going to be a hacker paradise, and it turned, you know, you didn't pay attention that it was a cautionary tale. You know, that's where I was in the mid-90s. I was into this, you know, I thought being a cyberpunk was like being a hacker with bitchin' fashion sense, right?
Uh-huh.
And people were saying cyberpunk is dead, you know, since 93, right? And here, you know, we got new video games and, like, it's the hot genre right now, 30 years later. You know, they were saying it was dead 30 years ago.
Yeah, I think the important thing is to share what that spirit was and bring that to the present context, whatever that may be, if it's all those different types of spaces. The hackerspace, concept, the place of doing things and sharing and teaching and learning and stuff, like, they all are different. They all take different forms, and it still goes on. I think there just should be ever more. Sometimes there, you know, a lot of it's taking place in schools and in libraries and, you know, programs to try to get students engaged. But it's very much mainstreamed in a lot of ways we might recognize, but you're right, and it's a very popular thing to be thinking about because it's often been so hard to capture in art and in our modern lore, in our storytelling. You know, how do you show something that's going on in wires and in code and in mysterious black boxes? And we're still telling those stories now, and that's partly why we like talking here and sharing articles like yours in the printed world. And just keep that alive. You know, you can walk into some of these spaces, for example, and realize this is not enough. This is boring. Let's add some more hacker spirit to it. And I think it's from people that have seen these cycles of it, you know, being popular and then being, derided for having been over long, you know, many times over. That's, I think, something we can recognize and say, like, well, look, this is something that changes. It ebbs and flows with the different platforms, the different tools, the different players, if we're talking about the market economy of it all and, you know, the so-called tech sector. You know, what is that even? You know, I think we're not even really scratching the ultimate creativity of it all. Like, we're not even thinking enough about it, because to me, when I think back or to stuff that's wowed me that I've seen in the hacker community, it just inspires me to, like, find it in the present moment and continue to curate in every corner of our communities and our lives. And however tame it might seem, it's something, and it keeps that spirit, you know, in every place you look.
And the things that wind up becoming popular are always a surprise. Nobody saw it coming. And the things that you expect to be popular almost never are, because they're formulaic. You know, you're just doing what everyone else told you to do. And it's been done before. What works are new things, new ways of thinking. Even if something was done before, well, then do it a different way, and you might have something completely different.
Yeah, it's like the creativity, like in like online spaces, like, you know, like there's like hacker subreddits and stuff. It seems so many people think hacking begins and ends with penetration testing, you know, in InfoSec, and the hacking world is so much bigger than that.
No, absolutely.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I could not agree more, yeah.
It's like hacking is an attitude and a mindset as much as it is a skill set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that, I mean, it's an industry in and of itself. And, you know, it's a profitable one, but it's not the next creative wave that individuals will be involved with. That's something that we haven't yet discovered.
Yeah, that playfulness, totally. I mean, it gets kind of distilled out of some of those, professional settings. So, absolutely, it's like what I mean when I say sort of mainstreaming and or just less creative aspects of the application of technology. But it's, I think, the kinds of mainstreaming, like the new fun things with, like, additive manufacturing, where people playing around and printing objects, and now, like, it's not uncommon to find healthcare professionals printing out organs, you know, in advance of to rehearse an operation for someone, or rocket engine parts to be made by sintering and computer simulations and so forth. Like, that is, that playfulness didn't necessarily get it there, but it made enough people excited and playful with it to say, hey, maybe we could do this, maybe we could apply it to that. And it's that creative application, I think, that it's just so important to nurture. And it, yeah, maybe it'll be great for some industry, but the forms of that spirit will just continue on in different ways to other things.
You're much more likely to get to an interesting place if you're just doing something in your garage, you know, with friends, whether it's a band or a business. You're going to get to a more creative, unique place than if you have a bunch of venture capital and you're just following a formula. You know, you might succeed
there too.
But it's not going to be nearly as interesting or unique.
Yeah, to bring it full circle, I bought some of Maya's merch on her merch site, and because, you know, I'm living, you know, in the Silicon Valley right now, recovering from my lung transplant, and I bought one shirt that says "Venture Anti-Capitalist," you know, to wear when I'm out in the world, to kind of
change the way people look at it. Like, is that a good thing? Maybe we need more of those. Like, yeah, it's playfulness. It's that's the spirit, totally. And people, I think, catch on, and things, you know, if things go out of fashion, they stop being used in the same way, and people look at them, you know, and move on and so forth. So I just think we should continue to just have fun, around some
of
this.
Yeah, that fun, that pranksterism, that sense of exploration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like back in the 90s, 2600 published plans for this red box called the Quarter, right?
Mm-hmm.
I built one on a breadboard. I tested it. I said, you know, and it was getting hard, especially in California, because they were savvy, you know, and they were cutting out, you know, and so red boxes didn't work. But I had a friend that lived in a dorm at a university that had an old payphone. And he had a Radio Shack dialer that he put in the 6.5 megahertz crystal in that his red box worked. So I took in, like, I didn't even put it in a box. It was on a breadboard, you know, with a speaker hanging off and a 9-volt battery. And I tested it, and I called my girlfriend, you know, and it worked. And, like, she was not impressed. She thought I would get in trouble. So I robbed the phone company of a 25-cent toll call.
Mm-hmm.
And then I never used it again, right? I started putting it in a box. I never finished it, but it was just enough to build it and test it and figure out that it worked. You know, it was 93, I think, that came out. And it's like, and like I said, it was of limited utility because most payphones didn't work on anymore. But it was just the exploration. It's like so many hacks begin with the question, I wonder if I can.
Yep.
Or I wonder what would happen if. And
or
I
bet.
That sense of exploration.
Uh-huh.
Instead of just following the formula, running the script, you know, loading up a Kali VM and running the Metasploit tools to do hack the box. You know, it's just...
Yeah, you know, I think our whole culture kind of falls in between being too afraid to do something and having a criminal plan to do something for profit. We're right in the middle of that, where we want to break the rules to figure something out, not necessarily to, you know, to benefit from it, certainly not to run a criminal enterprise from it, but also overcoming the fear of bending or breaking the rules a little bit. And I think that's kind of what defines the hacking culture.
Yeah, I mean, I'm playing with a rule if it makes sense. But if a rule is just a rule just for no good reason, I mean, it should be broken, in my opinion.
I think it's also rebalancing power structures, rebalancing monopolistic, specifically monopolistic power structures. I mean, that's basically what the boxing was. With the telephone system, there was a vulnerability in it. People had a certain no love lost, shall we say, with Ma Bell and the Bell system.
Some people thought it through, saying, yes, we're fighting back for individuals against monopolies. But for most people, it was just about wanting to make a phone call, you know, and learning that, hey, if I make these little beeps into a phone, I can make a phone call without having to put in, you know, $10 worth of coins to call overseas, and no one's even going to find out about this because the phone company bills itself, et cetera, et cetera.
But if it's individuals, that doesn't sound like a criminal enterprise. So
right.
You label them all hackers. Oh, well, you got a gang of hackers here that are doing all this exploiting, and let's build this entire security industry around the potential of all the things we can imagine that they'll do.
That's why it was always so funny to see hackers being portrayed as you know, this criminal enterprise when, you know, people would wind up just falling asleep at their modems, you know, in the middle of the night and just, you know, losing interest or trying something else for a few weeks. And it's just, it's curiosity, and that's what it continues to be. Hey, listen, we are pretty much out of time. We're getting very tired here. So it was great hearing from you. Anything else you want to tell us?
Thank you for talking with me.
Of course, yes. And thank you for all the writing you do, and we hope to see more articles and all sorts of fun things in the future.
I have one waiting to be approved, so waiting to hear it.
Okay. Well, hopefully that will come soon.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. You have a great night.
Good night.
Take care. All right. And I guess that's going to do it for us here tonight. Now, Alex just has a black bar where his phone was. Is he even still awake?
I don't know.
We might have lost him.
Yeah. Okay. Sleeping peacefully. Alex, are you awake? Alex, wake up. No, he's asleep. He's gone. All right. Well, it was great talking to all of you, awake or asleep.
Thanks for being here and discussing everything. It's lovely chatting with everyone. Please, if anyone has thoughts for this or the regular radio show, oth@2600.com, we'd love to hear your stories.
See, this is exactly what I was talking about. People fall asleep late at night, you know, and in the past, young hackers would fall asleep at their keyboards while they were connected illegally to something. They'd be connected for like 8 hours instead of only 30 minutes. And now Alex is connected to us, but he's going to be connected to us all night long, I guess. We can't see him. He's there somewhere.
I'm here.
Oh, you are there. We woke you up. I'm so sorry. We didn't mean to do that.
I'm lurking.
We don't see you. We just see a big black rectangle.
Yeah. Well, it's dark here, and I turn the lights out.
Well, it's important to hack your sleep as well. So.
Yeah, I'm listening to you guys, but I might fall asleep momentarily, so we'll see.
We're going to be disconnecting from YouTube in a couple of seconds. Just want to remind people to write to us, oth@2600.com. We'd love to hear from you.
And sleep well.
Yes, when the time comes, definitely do that. And we will see you again next week, 7 o'clock on WBAI, 8 o'clock on YouTube. Good night.